30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good evening and happy Friday, and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I am Adam. Got a lot of news this week, a lot of news to talk about. One of them is early in the week, but we've been busy. Got a lot going on. For those of you who are listening, we do have some cool stuff coming up on Beware Spoilers. We're doing our weekly Loki episode recaps. We are also doing our, our usual stuff like that. We also are going to be doing Fancy Dance on Sunday. Going out to the Hamptons to see Fancy Dance at the Hamptons International Film Festival. And I think it's a weak month in terms of theatrical releases. I'm not going to cover, the Eras Tour because, I'm not going to do that. but we don't have too much going on. We have video games, though. Next week we have Cocoon. The week after we have Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney trilogy remaster that they put out, or a remake that they put out. And then the week after that, we have Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the mountain of things that have happened, including some new release dates from Marvel Studios, tentatively on Disney+, some other smaller stories, and what could be coming from Star Wars in the near future. Let's start out with the new release dates for Marvel Studios. Now, apparently, and I didn't know this is the case, you file with the patent office, or the copyright office, and you can file there your tentative release date for stuff. So one of the things that was there was tentative release dates for, and these dates, I don't know how accurate these dates are. Let's just put it that way. But these dates do indicate that some things are farther out than previously, explained. So to start out with, Daredevil. It's tentatively slated for a January 2025 release date, which does kind of make sense if we think about what we have. On top of that, we're looking at a September 2025 release for Ironheart and September 2024 release for Agatha. Now, all these things kind of make sense in the grand scheme of things. But if we take into consideration some of the things that we've learned over the years, it appears that Disney doesn't want to do too much overlap when it comes to Marvel and Star Wars, because they end up cannibalizing each other. And like this week is the one week that it's happening, but since the debacle with Ms. Marvel and Obi-Wan Kenobi, you don't see them really wanting to overlap these two things. And this will dovetail into our next story. Which is, we don't know what the next Star Wars show is going to be. We don't know if we're getting the Acolyte or Skeleton Crew next. Either way, we haven't seen any footage of either, but a trailer for the Acolyte has leaked, which would indicate to me that the Acolyte is coming next. Now, if they're going to release a trailer now, it indicates probably a January or February release date. That's something they're going to do after. And you can listen to me explain this with Josie over on Exploring Hyperspace Lanes, but the Cliff Notes version is, I think they want to put this out during a Good Morning America segment when you have actors to promote it, especially actors like Daphne Keene, the man Listenberg, who they will bring an audience, but also they can articulate what the character is about and what the show is about in a way, and you're going to want to put that front and center. And to that end, if we have, looking at what we have for the rest of the year, Loki will be running until mid-November, and then we have nothing until January, which is presumably when Echo is coming. Or I think Echo has been formally delayed until January. Echo is also going to be binge model. All six episodes dropping at once. And to that end, if that's going to be the case and that's what they have coming up, they will, after that, they'll be free to put out whatever the next show is, which will likely be The Acolyte. Then the next thing after that, what else did I have produced? I mean, look, we don't have Wonder Man's release date. I think what you could end up with after that, in reality, because the other thing we've taken into consideration, too, is that they've moved Echo, and allegedly we're also getting What If in that same time frame later this year, because one of the What If episodes is a Christmas episode, and I think they want to line that up. So if What If is going to be the end of this year, that'll lead directly into Echo. Echo will lead directly into The Acolyte. The Acolyte will lead directly into presumably Skeleton Crew or X-Men 97, though they could run those two things at the same time and do kind of like they did with The Bad Batch and I forgot the other one was. It seems like as long as it's not the same brand, Marvel and Marvel or Star Wars and Star Wars, they're comfortable running both of them at the same time, an animated and a live action. So they could do X-Men 97 at the same time as Skeleton Crew. And then you end up with the only thing you possibly run the issue of is late next year. We're late next year, if this date is true, and you do have a September release for Agatha, which makes a lot of sense. I think that would indicate that we're getting a delay of Andor. And I think Andor might end up in early 2025, although it might just be in between. They might sandwich it between. If it's another 12 episodes, that could be rough, because that you're looking at 3 months of content. But also, it all depends on the strikes, because both that and Daredevil were in production. The same goes for Wonder Man, which is also in production. The same goes for other things that were in development, and we don't know what the status of those are. So there's a lot of moving parts here that we don't know what it is. I just think that we're looking at a situation where we don't want to have too much kind of moving around. And you don't want to have too much self-competition within Disney. If that's the case, you're just going to, you know, work around that. But in fairness, I do think the next show is going to be The Acolyte. And I think The Acolyte will come early next year. Which brings us to our next story. Well, it doesn't really bring us to our next story. It's more our next story is here. This will be a quick one. As you know, it does bring us to our next story. With Ahsoka ending, Ahsoka Season 2 allegedly is in early production. Early pre-production before the strikes set in. Once the strikes are resolved, it will resume, which indicates to me that they are beyond just the writing phase. Otherwise, it'd be, now that the strike is over, they will be going back to writing Ahsoka Season 2. Now, this should come as no shock based on how Ahsoka ended. If you want to hear my thoughts on how Ahsoka ended, you can hop on over to Beware of Spoilers, where I did an entire episode about it. But if Ahsoka, you know, number one, I went into it knowing there's going to be a Season 2, because Disney Plus doesn't exactly hide that when they're ending the first season. They do, like, passively announce that they're doing a second season of shows by saying season or series finale. If it says series finale, it means that's the end and we're going no further. If it says season, it means that they at least haven't closed the door entirely on Season 2. And this says season finale, which means we're probably getting Ahsoka back. Plus the ending, I'm not going to spoil it here. Again, go over to Beware of Spoilers. Leaves the door open to where you do kind of need Season 2, especially going into an Heir to the Empire movie, which we've known is in development since, Star Wars Celebration. So we got that coming for us, which is nice. Next story is kind of short, but it does indicate that a release date is sticking. Furiosa is slated to allegedly premiere at Cannes next year, Furiosa being the prequel movie to Mad Max Fury Road, with Anya Taylor-Joy as Furiosa, the role played by Charlize Theron in the movie, set in the Mad Max world and directed by George Miller. I'm here for all of this. Let's see this movie when it comes out. And that is currently slated for May of next year. More Adventure Time is also in the works following the success of Fiona and Cake. We knew that they wanted to do more episodes of anything. Allegedly, they're in talks on season two of Fiona and Cake, which would be fine. Or they could do other things, more sequel shows. I said it when I discussed the finale. It'd be really cool to see a show about that post-apocalyptic ooh, like the version of ooh in the distant future. That would be cool. But anything, I'll take anything. That world is so fun, and they do a lot of cool things with it. So I think that would be really awesome. iCarly has been canceled to Paramount Plus, and this we're only putting on here because we did talk about iCarly weekly when the episodes were coming out earlier this year. I don't think that this is a shock. I think the last season of it was probably the weakest season, even if some of the characters did feel the best, in it. People are a little disappointed that they're not going to resolve the what's it called? They're not going to resolve the cliffhanger with Carly's mother. And I'll reiterate what I said in the episode about the finale. I don't think there is a good way to resolve that. I don't think there is a way to finish out that story that is satisfying. I'm fine with them just leaving it hanging in the air and just moving on. I think what they really need to do, like, I think that this is a bigger issue that comes from the 1-2 punch of this and Zoey 101 kind of flopping, or Zoey 102 kind of flopping. I think the biggest thing is I think this is the end of this experiment on Disney Plus, especially if Good Burger also bombs. I think that is Ned's Declassified. If there was any hope of that, that also goes away, which is weird considering that like we've had success with other things like this. Like that 90s show worked very well, and for Netflix it was really good. And I think the issue is, iCarly was kind of tonally dissonant in a weird way. In a weird way, it kind of wanted to be both what it was in 2007 on Nickelodeon and a show that was targeting like tweens, and maintain that sense of like mischievousness and that sense of that style of comedy, but with people in their late 20s, early 30s, which doesn't quite line up because it just makes the characters seem off. And I think that doesn't quite resonate. And then on top of that, too, there is this weird thing where it's like they're doing that, but also sometimes they dip into more mature themes. And in all, when you have those two things kind of going against each other, things don't always work out properly. And if things don't always work out properly, you end up in these weird places where the show just doesn't match with anyone. It doesn't have an audience. Apparently, the show did have an audience. It did have a small and dedicated fan base, which was upset. But to this, I ask, it's like, look, they spent the entire finale litigating out, and I'm going to spoil it here because it's been long enough since the episode aired. They spent the entire finale litigating out Carly's commitment issues stemming from her, what happened when her mother left, and her mother never making a role in her life, in their life, and how selfish that was for her. And for that to be the main thing, for that to be the main issue, for the mom to show up and it'd be as, oh, who's gonna play the mom? If that's the question, it's like number one, you're not really focused on the resolution of the emotional arc that comes with that, but also, how do you resolve that? Because keep in mind, the event that they're at is not something for Carly, it's Freddie's mom getting married to the doorman. And if that's the case, why is Carly's mom showing up there? How did she figure that out? All of that notwithstanding, which is just plot holes and pointing out plot holes for the sake of pointing out plot holes, but all of that notwithstanding, the central issue you encounter with this is how do you resolve the mother coming back? Is the resolution going to be, okay, now she's back with the group? Because that doesn't feel earned. Although that would be in line with the show. Are we introducing a new character for the sake of that? And then if that's not the case, she comes back, Carly has closure, and the mom leaves again. It's like, well, that feels weird too. There is no good way to resolve this plot, and they kind of wrote themselves into that corner, hoping they can generate, like, this feels like a move that you make as a Hail Mary when you don't know if you're going to have another season, and you're trying to generate enough people to come back. The other thing is, your viewership needs to be really good to get a fourth season, because that's when people's pay starts getting in noticeable and sizable increases. So they would have had to pay the cast a lot more to come back, which is why you hear people talking about the Disney loophole, which is if you look at Disney Channel original shows, most of them don't go past season three. And then what'll happen is once it hits season three, it'll get quote unquote rebooted into a new show that's a sequel show, and it'll start back at season one. And the reason for that is you pay your writers less on season one of a show than you do on season four. Same thing with the actors. So it's a way to get around paying as much as you should, despite using these same characters from show A to show B. Which is an issue that you would run into here too. So if you're going to do that on streaming, your viewership numbers need to be really good to get to a season four. And to that end, I think we don't ha like iCarly didn't quite have that. Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm not, I feel like I'm being hard on the show. The show wasn't awful. Like, it did have some comedic moments that hit. I think Lacey Mosley was great. She was like not even arguably, she was the best part of that show. But just it never quite felt right because the times where they would try to be more mature, it never quite landed. Because of how many other ridiculous things are. Like, there's an episode in the most recent season where it's Carly never graduated high school, and the only thing that was keeping her from it was her gym requirement. So in the middle of her high school reunion, she has to, pass a physical fitness test. And it's like, this just feels so goofy and out of place in a show where you have a single father who is, raising a kid. And it's like, there are so many moving parts here that are just kind of weird. And it doesn't quite land for anything. But yeah. I think what other news stories do we have here? DC Studios is relocating most of their productions to England. I suspect this has something to do more with labor than it does anything else. Because if you were shooting entirely in Equity, which is something that was it's a studio overseas, not a studio, the Actors Guild overseas, then you didn't have to stop production, which is why we're still on track to get House of the Dragon on time. And I think that that's what this has more to do with. And also, differences with, trade guilds. I think that has more to do with it. It does suck though for people for, we're still in an age as it is right now. We're still in the age of the comic book movie. And for one of the two big studios, especially one from Warner Brothers, for that to now be only in England. Now, well, it's good for people in England, but for, the American film industry, it's like, well, that kind of sucks. Especially one that's entirely Warner Brothers. That's Warner Brothers run. I would have preferred them to not do this. Relocate entire production of an entire, tentpole of the industry to move overseas. But it is what it is. Which brings us to our final story. Minecraft has launched their new vote for the new mob they're going to add, which they do annually where they add in a new mob. The other two get put away forever. Now, there are three options for those who want to vote. And look, I'm not a huge fan of this when it comes to Minecraft doing this. I think that my issue with it comes from the fact that Minecraft doesn't add enough new content to the game to warrant them having this put to a vote, especially for a company on the size of Mojang, especially one that is now a subsidiary of Microsoft. It feels weird that they're putting it to a vote for which one they're going to put in. And granted, the other two will be modded in at some point in the future, but again, it shouldn't come to the community to do these things. The three mobs are penguins, crabs, and armadillos. The penguins function the same as the dolphins, allegedly, where you give them something and they will go out and find you shipwrecks or buried treasure. Crabs will give you claws that you can use to extend your range for placement. And the armadillo will give you armor for your dogs, for wolves and stuff like that. And I can see why people would be pissed off about this. Because number one, the fact that you're vaulting the other two is kind of annoying. Like, number one, if the penguin wins, that's the ultimate harm to the game. Because if the Penguin wins, you're not adding too much. All you're doing is, adding in something that is not 100% necessary as a gameplay mechanic. The other two aren't either, but they're features that have been requested for a long time. I don't think there are many people who are like, hey, can we get a land-based animal that can point out, you know, where treasure is? Do they point out treasure or do they point out something else? They point out something to dolphins. You give it a fish and it points out something. I think it's treasure. But either way, it's like, is that something that, you know, people were demanding from a land animal? Like, I'd argue probably not. And if that wins, and if it comes down to, like, you know, there are two aspects of the community. It's like, oh, what's better for the aesthetic of the game? What's better for, or what I want? Like, oh, do I want a penguin? Yeah, sure. And I think that they're kind of hoping the penguin wins because that's the least amount to add in. It's just creating a mob that will do that. And again, to take fan-requested features that have been requested by fans for a long time and potentially vault... I mean, look, at least one is getting vaulted, if not two. Because even if the dog armor, the armadillo wins and you end up with the ability to get armor for your dog, if that wins, then, you know, the other one, the crabs get vaulted. If the crab wins, then the armadillo gets vaulted. If the penguin wins, both get vaulted. And I think that that's kind of what the issue here is that, you know, you're just going to vault these instead of being like, you know, other companies who had a game like this would do, you know, this could be three updates in a year. And look, it's good they're still supporting Minecraft and they haven't tried to do like Minecraft 2 or something. But you gotta, you know, supporting the game is like, look at what's happening with Stardew Valley. And look at what's happening with Minecraft. Compare the two. There's no vote that Concerned Ape is doing over, oh, we're going to add a new festival in, or, oh, we're going to add this in, we're going to add in new story stuff, oh, we're going to add in new animals, oh, we're going to add in new, like, no, that's not how this works. It's, you know, he's like, look, I'm going to add this shit in, if we're, you know, that's what's going to happen. And that's a much smaller team, and he's working on another game. I think Concerned Ape is just the one guy. And I think it is just him. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. But if it is just him, then, you know, good for him. And he's doing better work than Minecraft. But look, I mean, I think we'll wrap up on that for today. One other thing before we wanted to get into it. Loki has reinvigorated a certain discourse regarding, not Jonathan Majors, but regarding Marvel's portrayal of Kang. Now, look, number one, we weren't supposed to know Jonathan Majors was Kang the Conqueror until Quantumania. And if we watch Loki and you watch Quantumania, there are hints in Loki that he is Kang. There's the line that Miss Minutes has, knowing that Miss Minutes works for him, where she refers to him as the self-righteous Avengers. There's Kang when he's talking about, you know, I've been called many things, a warlord, a conqueror. Like, that would have told people there that he is, you know, that he is Kang. He would have picked up on it there. Like, it would have been a point of speculation. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like, that wasn't, you know, it wasn't meant to be announced that, like, he's Kang. He's not named Kang in the episode. They're not, like, and when Loki gets back to, what's it called? When Loki gets back to, the main, you know, the TVA, he's not like, oh my god, Kang is coming, because who the fuck is Kang? It's, there's someone at the end of time, and he is, you know, he is scary, he's holding something back, he is coming. And then when we get to Quantumania, when you watch the arrival of Kang in Quantumania, he is not arriving as, you know, it is shot where it's like, oh shit, that is, you know, he who remains from Loki. And then they reveal that that's Kang. And I think that what we're talking about is the corporate structure of Disney has done a lot to tarnish brands at Disney that have done very well. And I think that that's something that we need to really address. There is a need for executives at Disney to show that they are making use of investments in terms of acquisitions. In this case, we're talking specifically about the acquisition of Lucasfilm in 2012, 2013, and the acquisition of Fox in 2019, 2020. The issue here is if these acquisitions happen, or these acquisitions did happen, they needed to have approval from the board of directors and the shareholders. They need to prove to the shareholders, we did not waste this money. There is money coming back. So what we're getting now is a lot more transparency into processes that we would not have had transparency of in the past. And the reason for that is we need to show that we're making money on these things. So when it comes to Star Wars, we get a lot of announcements of shit that is in development or something like that. Those announcements are not directed at the general audience. They're directed at people who own shares of Disney stock to show, look, we spent this money, we spent $4 billion of your money to buy Star Wars. We want to show that we are spending it. That's why you end up with these things in the mid-2010s where Iger's out there and he's like, you know, we need to find, what's it called? We want, you know, we're making a Boba Fett movie. We're making a Yoda movie. We're making a Jabba the Hutt movie. We're making an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. We're making this movie. We're making this movie. We're making this movie. And all of this is to show, look, we're doing stuff. And the same goes for, you know, now that we're toward the end of that and we're into the streaming age, the same goes for both Marvel and Star Wars. We're showing, look, we're doing this on streaming. 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 And that's going to be able to subscribe to Disney Plus. And because people subscribe to Disney Plus, they'll like it. And that'll mean more money for us. That's what it's about. It's about proving that we're going to recoup our investments. And to that end, a lot of the issues that we're having with Marvel, be it it looks like they have a lack of direction, be it I can't figure out where they're going from here, that all comes from the fact that we have a lot more information now than we ever did before. And a lot more information and a lot more content in development openly. And I think that that's kind of what's harming the brand. In the same way that we say that, like, look, Star Wars doesn't know what they're doing because they have all this stuff happening. The perception becomes once you have so many things, so many, you know, so many, what the pokers in the fire, like, irons in the fire. That's it. Once you have so many irons in the fire, it starts to look like we don't have a concrete plan. We're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. To an extent, I think a good amount of this is. Let's see, like, I go to some of it is that. Let's see what sticks, and let's see if we get the right person in here developing it. Let's see what happens. But, like, there's that Wakanda show they announced years ago. That was a Disney Plus thing. I don't think that that's ever happening. You know, the Vision Quest show. I don't think that's ever happening. I think they're just throwing shit and hoping that something, and it's like, this looks like it's something that, you know, people liked WandaVision. You know, let's do a Vision spinoff show. You know, people like Black Panther. Black Panther made a lot of money. If we do a Black Panther show on Disney Plus about the origins of Wakanda, people will tune in to watch. Like, that's kind of what it is. And the same goes for Star Wars. And I think that that's kind of the issue here, where it's like, we knew who Kang was in Loki because they announced at Investor Day Loki is happening. And a lot of the stuff around what's going on with Fantastic Four. It appears there could be trouble with Fantastic Four. And the reason for that is we're being so public about what's happening in every stage of production with that movie. It's just because we got to show we spent all that money on Fox. This movie's we're gonna make it back. The same goes for Deadpool. Why are we announcing that, you know, Wolverine's gonna be in it? Why are we announcing that, you know, Jennifer Garner is gonna be in it as Elektra? Why are these announcements happening so far out? We have to show investors their money was well spent, and we're going to recoup. And that is the issue here. And that's not an issue that will ever be solved. As long as there are publicly, as long as these things are owned by publicly traded companies, these are problems that will never be solved. But you have to take with a grain of salt what this all means. And I think the only real solution, and it's counterintuitive considering what this is being broadcast as, is to go radio silent. and just be like, look, we're going to take a step back. We're not going to look at, you know, we're not going to, I'm not going to look to see what's coming in these, in these things in the future. Because so much is out there, and they put so much out there on purpose to show, look, we're using your money wisely. We did not waste $47 billion, however much it was to buy 20th Century. That was not money that we wasted. And you know what? I understand. I can understand from that standpoint why they would do that. It doesn't mean it's good for the longevity of these brands. And I think, too, it's like, look, we've talked about the streaming mandates, and that's entirely on Iger. But it is what it is. We'll wrap up there for today. We'll be going back to movies in the near future. We'll be doing Real Steel. We'll be doing Goodfellas. We'll be doing Sorry to Bother You. And we'll be doing The Girl with All the Gifts over the next few weeks. Yeah, we will wrap up there for today. And until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.